Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to Gary Morgan's Fan Forum here on DK Pittsburgh Sports Podcasting Network. I'm your host, Gary Morgan. Today I've got with me my good friends Braves and Jim Stamm. We're going to talk all about the trade deadline after I'm done rambling at you a little bit about some of the things that I've observed. First things first, I think if there is an elephant in the room every trade deadline, it's always the salary cap. They go hand in hand. And watching a team like the Dodgers that was already loaded to begin with be able to so easily recover from the troubles they've had with their pitching staff this year, like Clayton Kershaw's injury troubles and Trevor Bauer's Trevor Bauer problems. That's the part that teams like that don't have to deal with, that teams like the Pirates do. See, the Pirates lose a player like Felipe Vasquez for being a turd, and the Dodgers can lose a turd and simply flush him. They'll have no trouble recovering from that at all. The dead money doesn't hurt them. They're not worried about it. They just go and get more. That's all. And not only more, they go and get the piece. I mean, they go and get the pitcher. It gets hard to watch. Because what we're really watching here is the Pittsburgh Pirates trying their darndest to do everything right, rebuild this thing from the ground up, have as many homegrown pieces as they possibly can, so that when it comes time to add and spend money, they're actually capable of having enough funds to do it. Take into account all of your feelings about Bob Nutting and what you think he can and can't do, and yes, he should do more, but they couldn't come close to touching even $100 million less than the Dodgers are going to end up spending this year. And if you can watch something like that and ultimately think this game is healthy, I just don't understand how you can do that. I really don't. And when I say I need that, this league needs a salary cap, it's just not about hurting players. It's about leveling the playing field. I don't care if the players wound up getting 75% of the profits. I'd be happy with that. I want the minor leaguers paid better. I want them treated better. I want them to attract young prospects to this sport that they love to play and give them an easier path to get here that doesn't involve them eating ramen noodles for 3 years and hoping that somebody gives them a shot. So the salary cap to me is not about hurting the Dodgers and helping the Pirates. It's about watching a team like Milwaukee that has spent as much as they possibly could for the best part of a decade now, trying to put a good product on the field. They're in a position where they're going to win the Central. They're adding as many little ticky-tack pieces as they can. And what's going to happen? They're going to get steamrolled in the playoffs by teams that could afford to eat dead money. That's awful. That's the kind of stuff that discourages fans. And as I sit here and watch the Pirates, yes, I'm still optimistic that they're building properly. I'm still optimistic they're going to put together a good team. But at the end of the day, if they come up against the Dodgers and they've got a $275 million payroll against the Pirates' probable $175, you can't look me in the eye and tell me you think that's 100% fair. It's just not. So now that I'm done rambling about the salary cap, because again, there's more pressing issues. There were actually a lot of moves that took place. Maybe not for our buckos. I mean, we had a surprise or two here. But I figured let's just get together and let's just talk about the trades. Let's start with the first one that I thought was the most unexpected. Today just pops up. Braden Ogle, a AAA pitcher for the Pirates, a left-hander that I've actually been really excited to see, goes to Philadelphia for the catcher they wanted the other day, Gutierrez. So I think we learned a couple things from this. And one, Graves, is Ben Charrington, when he likes a prospect, he likes a prospect. Because he just did the same thing with the San Diego shortstop.
Exactly. Marciano. Yeah, Marcano, however you say it. Yeah, it's you know, hopefully it works out better than Neil Huntington's love for Chris Archer. So, you know, I love
that. That's a trade deadline past.
It is. You know, I'm overall pleased with what the Pirates have done. You know, trading Clay Holmes and Braden Ogle were two surprises for me. I was not expecting either one of those to go. I'm with you. I like Braden Ogle a lot. He really impressed me in spring training, and I was looking forward to seeing him pitch for our team. But yeah, you know, Ben Charrington got some guys that helped fill some holes. We've bolstered some more with the catching prospects and middle infield again, and it really boils down to what we've, you know, I've been saying it in the past, you know, it's decision time, and we've got to make some tough decisions on some of these guys and move some players whenever we can. We've got, you know, all the draft guys to fill in. We've got all these new prospects that we've just traded for to find a spot for. So I'm pleased, but on the same note, I'm a little frustrated seeing what some of these other teams were able to do. And it's a little bit bittersweet day.
Yeah. I feel that a little bit, but I mean, Jim, it's hard to sell a Honda Civic for a Mercedes price. So, I mean, where did you come down on what you saw just on the surface? Any surprises, anything that shocks you, somebody that should have stayed that didn't, anybody that should have gone that didn't?
You know, first of all, it's great to be back with Graves. It seems like forever. So it's good to get the band back together.
It's OG. So. This is absolutely where it all started.
Right. Yes. Right. Yes. So let's acknowledge that first of all, but you know, the deadline came and went. I think it's one of those things where it's kind of like real estate, you know, the market is the market. Right. And You may think your house is worth $320,000. And when every offer you're getting is for $185,000 and $195,000 and somewhere in that range, well, you know, that's the market. And that's the value that you can get for somebody. I'm seeing a lot of things on Twitter, and granted, it's fresh. So things like, you know, a massive L for not trading Rich Rod. And there's just no reason not to trade Rich Rod. Well, there are plenty of reasons. And it's not a massive L if you can't get the return that you want. And sure, would I have loved to see them move him today and get something, you know, worthy of the return that I would have hoped he would have gotten? Absolutely. It didn't happen. I will say, at least with him, hey, let's revisit things in the off season. Let's, you know, the winter meetings, you never know what could transpire there. It's not like he's walking.
Yeah, right.
So, you know, that was the one, I think, for at least for the Pirates. And it didn't work out. And Charrington clearly wasn't satisfied with the return. And there's no reason to just give somebody away whenever, you've kind of already done a lot of restocking already. And so that's just where we're at.
There comes a point too where, you know, I think this is something that we probably are discounting with these trades, where, you know, we keep bringing up the 40 man problem that's going to come soon. We'll take a quick break after this, but we keep talking about the 40 man problem that they're going to run into. And you have to think a player like Richard Rodriguez or Chasen Shreve or Chris Stratton, you have to think that return's probably going to be pretty laden with players that the other team is looking to avoid that same problem with by sending them over here. There could have come just a situation where they weren't good enough to really crack our 40 man, or at least Ben Charrington's vision of our 40 man. And if that's the case, maybe just chill on making the move, because you're just bringing in more problems than you're offloading, really.
Right.
So I mean, it's a possibility, something that we should think about a little bit anyway. And let's take a quick break, and when we come back, let's start actually analyzing a few of these deals a little more individually and really see how we feel. Everybody, we're back, and I have to thank everybody again for sticking through my salary cap rant. So, trade deadline day, it's the worst for me. I think about that so much at this time of year. And I'd like to jump right back in though, Jim, with what's gone on this trade season for the Pirates. I mean, we had some expectations of guys they would move, and we kind of touched on that a little bit, but what have they actually done to the organization? What have they improved?
I think the first thing you can look at and, you know, be somewhat reassured about is they're getting some catching in the system that I think it was sorely needed. And sometimes, you know, everyone gets very caught up in the want versus need, and you don't want to put want over need and so on and so forth.
And you're talking mostly about Benz and Gutierrez then.
Yes, Benz and Gutierrez, yes. And, you know, the reality is, yeah, you don't want to live that way, but it does influence decision-making, and it does influence where you look at for prospects and teams you're looking to line up with. So, you know, besides Endy in the system, there wasn't really a lot that you could point to that you could be encouraged by.
Yeah, Stallings, just that Davis guy.
Well, yes, but obviously, you know, we'll see if he sticks there. In my mind, maybe he won't, but obviously it's just something that they needed to address. Stallings isn't getting any younger. I think it was a good position to target, and that's where I felt the best about.
I mean, and Graves, I heard a lot of people saying, oh, well, all these catchers, that probably means Stallings is on his way, right? You know, if not this deadline, this winter.
Yeah.
I don't see the correlation there, because
I don't either.
Benz is in double A, right? And Gutierrez is, I believe, in single A.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I don't see the connection there. I mean, I guess they could, but do you really want to go in next season with Perez as your starter? I'm not so sure that I want to do that to a young pitching staff. What do you think?
Yeah, I certainly don't want to go that route. To me, it actually tells me more that they want Stallings to stick around. He's going to be a great mentor to this young group of catchers, and we know how important the pitchers are. So if we have a core of catchers that, you know, strong defensively, have some, you know, offensive numbers, we've got a couple of guys that maybe won't stick a catcher, you know, can go, you know, shoot for another position on the field.
Yeah, Andy's a really good example of that. Yeah.
Absolutely. So, you know, it's they've got the C by their name, but that doesn't mean they're going to stick. So I'm all for getting the catchers and just using Stallings' knowledge. And, you know, I really credit him for taking it upon himself, you know, after he was DFA'd and he's like, you know, I need to up my game here. And he's done that. And I think he has a lot to teach these young guys. So keeping Stallings around, I think is, and I'm in no hurry at all to send him out.
Yeah. I mean, it's, to me, it's not really their MO to move a player that has that much control left. And I understand that people were talking about Stallings being at his highest value, but is he? Because his highest value might very well be being here babysitting a bunch of kid pitchers for the next 2-3 years before you think about dealing him. I mean, I would think you'd want somebody that you develop to come up and be up here ready to kind of take over the reins before you do that. It doesn't have to be Davis, but that's actually another point that I kind of wanted to get into a little bit, because like we were talking about stockpiling the catching, that's cool. I'm really excited they did that. I feel like the past regime would have drafted Henry Davis, already had Andy Rodriguez, and just been like, okay, those two are going to make it. Mm-hmm. And then we just sit and wait because they're both in low A, right? And it takes like 3-4 years for them to come up. And yeah, we still have Stallings, so it's cool.
Right.
This way, I think they're really kind of insulating themselves a little bit. They're giving a little bit of a soft landing to some guys. Like, you can come up here and play for a year. Maybe Benz is the starter for a year. You know, maybe something like that happens. Maybe there's a little bit of a crossover. God forbid, maybe these guys come up together and actually have a relationship. I like that they've taken that approach, that they don't just say they have enough of something. We've seen it with the middle infield. Now we're seeing it with the catching. I know you've openly asked for it to happen with the pitching. You can't ever just say I have enough.
No, I mean, you
when do
you
they never, focus on outfielders?
Yeah. Go ahead, Jim.
No, the only other thing I was going to touch on with the Stallings thing, and you brought up a great point there, Gary, about how are you looking at value. You can't just look at it as in what you would get for somebody. You know, you're going to have somebody to bring along some of these guys as they're coming up and maybe get up there. And my question to anybody would be, you want Michael Perez being the one that's doing that? I mean, I sure don't. I'm not saying he's terrible, but I'm not all that impressed with him but behind the plate and the way he calls a game. So, and here's the other thing. I mean, maybe they don't need all this insurance at the catching position. But you don't know. And maybe one of these, Davis, maybe he's as advertised. And one of these other guys is as advertised. I'll get it out. And that's somebody you can move for pitching.
Or maybe it's more about what they can do with the bat in general. And we're pretty sure the DH is coming.
Right.
It's as though we're not going to have another place for guys to hit.
Right.
So you've got teams like the Pirates. We already know Gary so eloquently put it at the beginning, which is the Pirates are behind the eight ball like a lot of teams are. They need to give themselves options, and more so than some other teams that can just cover up a mistake and just keep rolling and throw some more money at the situation. So this to me is really the only way to do it. And as far as catching and pitching goes, you know, I just don't think you can ever have enough. If you've got to move somebody around, you got too many of them, great. Best problem in the world you could ever have.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's like their pitchers and catchers are almost like a savings account for baseball. You know, and I get that. I like that way of thinking. I don't necessarily understand moving a controllable young prospect left-handed pitcher, probably the only one anywhere near the top of the system in Braden Ogle, to get another low-level catcher though. And I mean, I think that comes down to they really, really wanted him in the first place. That's why they were going to deal Anderson there to get him. That fell through. And I think Ben and crew just decided they really had to have that guy. And, you know,
they made the move. Yeah,
yeah, they made the move. But to me, that's kind of defeats the purpose, because I think Braden Ogle could have played a pretty good role on this team next year and for the next four or five. So
say this for Sherrington. Like we've touched on a little bit, boy, when he wants somebody, he goes back and he finds a way to get it done. Mm-hmm. If his ship goes down, it's going to be on his terms. We'll find out how good he is at targeting guys like this.
Yeah, that's good or bad. You're right. I mean,
absolutely.
How often do you get an opportunity to see a deal that close to done fall through and then another one get made, and you really get to see the different packages that were actually officially offered? That's so rare. Mm-hmm. And like, I took full advantage of that with the Tyler Anderson deal, because I mean, you just could see the pieces that came back in both the proposed that almost happened with Philly and what actually happened with Seattle. They were actually targeting certain things. They wanted a low level catcher. They wanted a pitcher.
Yep.
They got both. And then, you know, I mean, that they weren't going to leave that deal without it. That's what they wanted. So, I mean, we always envision that he's sitting there waiting by the phone and somebody says a name and they offer what they're going to offer. But it seems like they're a little bit more assertive than that. They're telling them what they want. They've scouted. Yes. They have a target in mind when somebody calls. It's not what we're all picturing, I think. Pretty cool, though, to think about. And on that note, let's go ahead and take another break, and then we're going to talk a little bit about how the league itself has changed, which has been insane today, especially the Cubbies.
R.I.P.
We're back, and you know, the Pirates, they're always late to the party, right? So the deadline day shouldn't be any different. Of course, they came in with some deals after 4 o'clock. We got some late breaking news about Richard Rodriguez getting dealt to the Braves. Couple decent players came back. I think it's a pretty good deal on paper. Bryce Wilson was their number 9 prospect overall. Ricky DeVito was their number 22 before the season. I've watched Bryce Wilson pitch. I haven't been impressed. His numbers aren't very impressive, but I mean, I guess there's something to be said for being ranked that high, right? I mean, any thoughts on that deal? And then we also had Austin Davis, which was kind of a surprise to Boston for Michael Chavez, who is looks like a utility guy, really. First baseman, second baseman, left fielder. I mean, what do you think of this? So we haven't had much time to digest this, but any thoughts on this one, Jim?
Well, first of all, I'm just disappointed, Gary. I thought we'd get some dramatic, like breaking news, you know, music coming in and you'd get real serious. But I don't know. Maybe that's not in the budget. I don't know.
It's definitely not in the budget yet.
You know, it's funny, we're sitting here and obviously we've talked about Rich Rod, and now we can talk about him in the past tense. And look, you're never going to hear me, and I'm quite vocal about this to the point where we even sometimes debate about it, Gary, where I want the pitching. Give me the pitching. I want it all, and then I want some more after that, because you want to talk about needing options and guys that aren't going to make it, whether it's performance-wise, injury-wise. They got two right-handed pitchers out of it. You know, like you said, Wilson hasn't been impressive. I'll take that. Obviously.
No, but it is somebody that can step in right now.
And eat some innings.
Give you some innings and has some upside if you can figure some things out with them. So not a bad move, really. And I mean, DeVito is injured right now, but he looks like he has at least a pretty good pedigree and everything. So they're definitely doing well. Adding pitching for Rich Rod, getting two pieces back isn't a bad thing.
Would I like to see some lefties in there? Yeah, sure. But
oh, sure I would. But we sent that to Philly. So we have Michael Chavez. I'm unimpressed. And I think Boston was as well. But he was a former top prospect of theirs. And while he hasn't done very well in the majors yet, he could. And really, did you care what we got for Austin Davis? Did you even think Austin Davis was going to get moved, Graves?
No, this one surprises me too. But we just talked about lefties, and he's another lefty that we shipped off. So and along with Bryce Wilson, Chavez, he can probably just step right in and take over second base. He's got the versatility that Shelton likes. So I think it's a good trade on both sides. There's no secret. We need some fresh arms to be able to pitch right now. So if Wilson can step in and eat some innings and give the bullpen a little bit of a rest, I'm all for that. So, but I am surprised to see the two lefties shipped out today.
Yeah. I mean, I have no doubt they tried to get them to take Chase and Shreve instead, but for whatever reason, people weren't interested in that. I'm kind of surprised that Chris Stratton is still a Pirate. I'm happy for him and his family. He seems very happy here. But
exactly, yeah.
You know,
yeah. I thought more people would be calling about Chris Stratton.
Me too.
He's had a really good season, but he likes Pittsburgh, and I'm all about that, and embrace those players that want to be here. So it's good.
I mean, all in all, I think what we can say is it wasn't an all that impressive trade period for the Pirates. I think given what they actually had available to send out the door, not bad. I think they got a pretty decent return for everybody that they moved. I did hear a lot of people questioning Adam Frazier. Maybe they should have waited in light of what happened today. I think, Jim, you were actually mentioning that earlier.
It crossed my mind.
Yeah, I don't know. There's always going to be that what if on stuff like that. But I do think, if you just take a step back, maybe take that NL hits leader thing out of your mind for a moment and kind of really think about what Adam Frazier has been his whole career. I think it makes more sense. I really do. And the numbers don't add up if you like to go that route, but I do think they've probably got a couple pieces out of that deal that they'll be able to use in the future. So I'm all in all okay with that deal. I honestly think they could have just waited till winter if that was all they were going to get, though. I really do. And I understand that the value would have dropped a little bit. Just to me, I don't know, almost wasn't worth it to pull it off right now. I think I probably would have held on, but
I was just gonna, as we're sitting here, and obviously some of this just came in, I'm just looking at Wilson. It looks like they did have to pay $1.2 million signing bonus over slot just to get him signed and get him away from North Carolina in 2016. Mid 90s fastball, kind of projected as a reliever initially. Looks like the Braves may have tried him out a little differently. Triple A stats were pretty good last year. So maybe he's just getting used to it, acclimating into the majors as far as not looking impressive. But there's some things to be relatively encouraged by the more I'm looking at it. So,
yeah, I don't think that there was anything earth shattering in this. And I don't think they had any earth shattering pieces to send out.
Right.
Now let's talk about, because we're done with the Pirates now. For I think we pretty well covered their trade deadline. We have to talk about the league a little bit because the league just got crazy. The Cubbies in particular, just went all in on demolishing their team. We saw Chris Bryant go to San Francisco. They managed to hold on to Joey Bart still. San Francisco just will not let Joey Bart go. He is their He's their Will Craig. He's going to sit down there in AAA until Buster Posey dies. And that's just all there is to it. Probably another 15 years, he'll get a crack. But they've got Chris Bryant in San Francisco. You got Anthony Rizzo goes to the Yankees. Yeah. Baez goes to the Mets. Anybody I missed?
Well, those are the big ones. Trevor Williams, of course, goes with Baez to the Mets.
Oh, he's still pitching?
Yeah.
I forgot.
Yeah. And then, of course, they did a few of the earlier trades, too, with Jock Peterson to the Braves and Shaven to the was it Oakland?
Yeah, and, I think it
was that one. Yeah. So, yeah. And then, of course, Kimbrel. So. Yep.
Kimbrel to the White Sox. So
Kimbrel to the White Sox.
I mean, I'm just relieved that the Dodgers, the little engine that could, managed to get a few pieces. I mean, I was really worried about them long term here and short term. I'm just so excited to watch them win the World Series.
I was very concerned too. I felt like they were going to have to accept something like Anthony Rizzo or something, you know?
Yeah.
No, it's crazy though. And the Reds pretty much held all their cards.
They did.
No, and I'm shocked by that because, you know, they're definitely not going to be able to continue to do that. So that's going to change. The Cardinals, for some reason, decided to add. That makes zero sense to me whatsoever. But
yeah.
Okay. I mean, how can I, a Pirates fan, argue with the Cardinals' methodology?
Yeah.
And I mean, what else? Milwaukee added a little, you know, what they could. Yeah. Escobar, they did okay. I think they did about what they could because they kind of came into the season near their max salary.
Right.
So it is what it is. But all in all, I think really the West just got a little stronger. The entire East tried to do something, but it's like this weird amorphous thing where like nobody really did anything super major. I guess the Mets adding Baez, but really has Baez been that awesome this year? I know he hits home runs and everything, but he and Lindor together, I don't see that as some big seismic thing. Lindor has
they're great friends for one thing. They're great friends and you know, that may, you know, Baez is known for his magic. So maybe he'll have a little bit more magic playing in New York with his good buddy.
Yeah. And I'm sure anything they can do to get Lindor playing a little better, they will certainly do. So maybe it's just about making him more comfortable and getting a little bit more, injecting a little bit more energy into that team and that lineup.
Yeah.
Yeah. Overall, though, did anything really change? Did anybody really win this trade deadline? Did anybody change their fate? I think the Giants getting Chris Bryant was them trying to hold on to that top spot, because if they slip to the wild card, they're done. They don't have a pitcher that'll win that game.
I really like that move. I do. You know, Chris Bryant, first of all, there's some experience there now. I mean, he's been through some of this, you know, with the playoffs and postseason and World Series and whatnot. And I'm looking, he's still, even this year, I think he's still got an OPS of like 861. So he's having a really, really good year.
Well, he's a great player. He's a great player.
He is.
And man, you know, they could use some just all around good offense. And I think he's a perfect fit for them. I really like that move. I don't know if it's going to be enough to hold off the Dodgers or the Padres, but they're at least trying to solidify where they're at. And like you said, hold on to that top spot.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think the Padres tried to keep up with the Dodgers, but I don't think they did enough. I really don't. I think it's really the Dodgers should overtake San Francisco at some point, but it you know, San Francisco shouldn't be where they are already. So it's kind of a crazy division, but you have to figure all three of those teams are in.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And it's going to be the Brewers and either the Mets or whoever comes out of the AL East, or the NL East, right? I mean,
yep.
And in the AL, I don't think anybody really did anything major. I really don't. The Yankees added, but I think the Yankees probably did too little too late. And I mean, Boston, I think arguably didn't need anything and added a little bit. So they're probably pretty good. The Mariners took a few little pieces here and there, but I think they have a pipe dream to begin with. Yeah. The A's are probably going to win the West. Chicago's going to win the Central. I don't know. It seems like
in the East again.
It really seems like all the pieces just kind of stayed in place. I mean, there may have been some moving parts, but I don't think anybody changed their position, really. So a lot of big moves, but really the worst thing for Pirates fans is the Cubbies just basically went from having a decent offensive unit with no pitching to almost completely rebuilding their system in one trade deadline.
Yep, in one afternoon.
And now they are right there. They're going to be just a few spots behind the Pirates by the time the dust settles on everything that they're going to do here. And
isn't that too, like, when we look at how what the position the Cubs were in and the position the Pirates were in as far as the pieces they had to move and or that they wanted to move and the returns they could get. You know, the reality is there's just a wide gap between some of the talent they had and some of the talent the Pirates had. And you've got to do your best to navigate through that. Cubs had more to offer, and they got more in return.
I mean, it tells me something important. When you put together a winning organization like the Cubs did, you get to reap the rewards in the future too. It makes the next iteration that much easier to achieve, so long as you take sentimentality out of it, like you said earlier, Jim.
Yep.
As long as you're able to actually do it because it's the right thing to do, because you know you have to, yeah, you can rebuild pretty quickly as long as you're smart about it. So, kudos to the Cubs, because even though they have all that money, that's not an easy decision to make. You know, so it gets easier when Baez says he's not re-signing and Bryant says he's not re-signing and Rizzo's getting old, you know, but
right.
Still.
But and I think you made a good point earlier too, Gary, maybe it was off air, but it's a good lesson to the Pirates and a credit to them, because I see this is the way that things are heading. If everything works out as we all hope that it does, you know, the Cubs are now at the end and they had to trade everybody off. And, you know, as opposed to having everything staggered, you know, and I'm hoping that the Pirates see that and continue to kind of have that staggered system, for lack of a better term, that, you know, yeah, when the time comes to where we have to trade off player X, and you know, we've got somebody else that's ready to step in, and it's not going to knock us down so far that it's going to take us, you know, 20 more years to get back.
And I something that just popped into my head too. Do you know why Bryce Wilson's name was so familiar to me that we got from the Braves for Richard Rodriguez? Because back in 2019, I wrote that I wanted him to be a return piece for Josh Bell.
See? It all works out, Gary.
It does. Full circle right there.
Yeah, the funny thing is, like, the way that Josh Bell is playing right now, you probably could have made that trade straight up.
That's awesome. I mean,
it's amazing how things change. But all in all, the league is the league, and while I do hope that eventually they fix this system, for right now, I think Ben Cherington's doing a really good job working around it and working with it and showing signs that he's going to stack prospects, which is the only path to victory for a team like this. So, okay, we're through another milestone. 60 games left or so. We will limp to the finish line. and hopefully look to brighter days in 2022. So let's say goodbye to our friends and end our episode of tantrums and hot takes and anger and pleasure and displeasure and laughing at the Cubbies. And Graves, how do people get a hold of you if they'd like to talk to you?
Well, thanks, Gary. And it's always a pleasure, Jim. I am Voice from the Graves. You can follow me on Twitter at KG underscore 55 VFTG. Give me a follow. I love to talk baseball. I love to talk Pirates baseball. And let's go Bucks.
And Jim, even though I had a self-proclaimed podcasting expert tell me on Twitter that I am being lazy by having you guys tell people how to get a hold of you, I'm still going to do it. So, Jim, how do people get a hold of you?
Well, I can only imagine what other nice things they might have to say if you gave them the opportunity. So, I appreciate it. It's at JimStam22 or for the city underscore 412. I'm all Pittsburgh all the time. It's Steelers, Pirates, Penguins, Pitt Panthers. And just think, guys, we no longer have to watch Anthony Rizzo standing on top of the plate. And
gyrating.
Yes. So we at least get that out of the way. It's a win.
Who are Pirates pitchers going to accidentally hit now? All right.
Thanks, Gary. And Graves, it's good to see you again and talk to you.
All right. You too. And thank you. This show, at least for now, is going to continue to keep coming out every Saturday at around 7. Make sure you listen to that on DK Pittsburgh Sports Podcasting Network. Listen to all the shows. We're really trying to put out good content for you. There are alternatives to talk radio out there, and we hope that we are one for you. And if you want to talk to me on Twitter, look me up at GaryMO2007. I'll talk to anybody about anything as long as it's not politics or something that annoys me. Talk to you later, and let's go Bucks.